Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. What's up, besties?
Hi, besties. Welcome back.
You know, we've been really on a movie kick lately, and Libby and I have always kind of gone a little pyramid for our movie schemes,
yes.
Looking at all the movies that we grew up with, new movies. But I think there's nothing better than local filmmakers. You know, we always
yes.
talk about supporting local
and independent
films, but it's really cool because Libby actually got to run the premiere at Imagination Station for a really cool local filmmaker.
Yes, I met our guest today, Anthony. He's here to talk kind of about his movie career as a local filmmaker.
So welcome, Anthony Wright. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been really excited to be on this for a while. You guys do such an amazing job. And we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Oh,
yay.
You're so sweet.
We're happy to have you.
Yeah, and we're excited to hear all of your insights. We think you do an awesome job. So why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about your background, kind of like pre-college, Anthony?
Right. So when I first started off making movies, I was actually in front of the camera more. My cousin Patrick McCarty, a.k.a. Guy on the 419 now, he recruited me to be in a lot of his sketches. Like back in the day, like I would act in front of him and... Yeah, from there, things just basically grew. I made a bunch of short films in grade school and high school. That was a lot of fun. And a week before college, my buddy Zach reached out to me. He said, hey, I work for the University of Toledo's football team. I film games and practices, and we need an extra camera guy on the staff. So I, in a heartbeat, said yes. And I would say that was the beginning of me shooting video professionally. So I started shooting coaches' film for the team in 2014. I did that all throughout college. I got to go to a lot of bowl games. I went to the Bahamas. I went to Alabama a couple times, Florida, and that was just such an awesome experience. I got a lot of valuable experience working through the team. I met a lot of great friends who I still work with today. I still go to a lot of UT games as a fan now. It's a lot of fun tailgating, TOL.
Well, and you're Toledo born and raised, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that Toledo pride kind of bleeds through us Glass City people, I think. But tell us, you know, obviously what filmmaking inspires you, you know, like what did you grow up with that really influenced your start into the film industry?
Right. So I began my filmmaking career making backyard Star Wars films. I know this sounds goofy.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I was a big Star Wars geek as a kid. Like I saw Revenge of the Sith for the first time in theaters at a friend's birthday party. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. So I watched like the behind the scenes video, like how they made it. And I was like, whoa, this would be so fun to try and pull off. So I grabbed my family's VHS camera. I made a bunch of backyard action films. There was no editing done on a computer back in the day. So like I did everything in camera pretty much. Like I didn't start using Windows Movie Maker till I was like in 7th or 8th grade. That's how I got my start to all this fun. But yeah, I was a big fan of Star Wars, Indiana Jones. Fun fact, I did my 5th grade wax museum. My 5th grade wax museum character was George Lucas, so I, just really loved visual storytelling. I loved making content, so it's been a wild ride.
That's awesome.
Lucasfilm, if you're listening, we got somebody for you.
So tell us, too, a little bit, while you're at UT, what studying film was like while you were there.
It was a great experience. Like I mentioned earlier, I worked for the football team, and that was just valuable hands-on experience. Like I made a lot of great connections through that. And a couple of my classes too, I met some great friends who I still work with today as well. Jarrett Cunningham, he was the composer for my movie. He did all the scoring and whatnot. And then another individual, Mr. Yusuf Badar, he plays the role of Zach in my new film. We met at UT and I gave him one of the lead roles for my latest project, The Ride to Nowhere. And yeah, I would say the most valuable part about college for me was networking, getting to meet so many talented and hardworking individuals, and we still work together, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely want to talk about The Ride to Nowhere. So tell us first a little bit about what that idea conception and kind of, okay, you have the green light, what all goes into it before that?
So before The Ride to Nowhere, my project previous to that was called Monarch, and that was a time travel drama film. Like, it was sci-fi. And then after that, I wanted to do something a little more lighthearted, but I didn't want to go, sure, like, full-on total goofy. Like, I didn't want to go, like, total, like, slapstick with it. So I wanted to do a comedy slash drama. I was a big fan of, like, some 80s movies. Some of the 80s movies really inspired me. I'm a big fan of Uncle Buck. That's a John Hughes movie. Mm-hmm, yes. I love how it has some serious moments, some more heartfelt moments, but also has a lot of funny moments in it, too. Another film that greatly inspired me was Stand By Me. I watched that film. Oh, it's such a good one. Rob Reiner knocked it out of the park. Gotta love River Phoenix. Will Wheaton in that. I was a big fan of one of my favorite movies in, I think, 7th or 8th grade. So those films inspired me to write The Ride to Nowhere. So I began the writing process in early 2022. I sent a couple of drafts to my friends. They gave me their feedback. And based off of their feedback, I made adjustments. And, yeah, we were ready to roll. We were ready to start shooting in 2023. Filming took about 6 months. A lot of my actors have, like, regular 9-to-5 jobs, so we film primarily on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So we shot on the weekends. That took about 5 to 6 months, and after that was complete, I began editing. That process took the longest. That was about a whole year, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of people think that the editing process is overlooked completely. Like, a lot of people think that, like, since he's done with filming, it's gonna take him like a couple weeks to edit everything. No, it took.
I think that's honestly a common misconception for the film industry as a whole. I feel like a lot of people see the actors post, like, oh, we just wrapped filming, and then it's like the movie doesn't come out for another year and people get so upset about it. Like, you have to edit. There's a lot of post-production that goes into that too.
Right. It's a tedious process, but like, when it's finished, like, it's definitely it feels great. Making a feature film is more of a marathon. It's not a sprint. It takes a lot of patience. It's a lot of hard work. But, like, once you cross the finish line, it's one of the greatest feelings. Like, you're eager to share your project with the world, and it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to back up a little bit, too, to the production process, because you used a lot of local people, local sets, things like that. So talk a little bit about your love of Toledo and our area here and how it kind of bleeds through in your film.
The Ride to Nowhere is more of a road trip movie. Mm-hmm. So some specific shoots, we had the film, like, in the deep reaches of, like, the Oak Openings area. So, like, it wasn't too recognizable. However, there were some parts that did take place in Toledo. We shot a scene at Home Slice Pizza. Mm-hmm. Another scene was shot at Howard's Club H down in Bowling Green. We actually just had a recent screening there. And then Titke's Coffee, Bill Klatt was just amazing. He let us use that establishment to film it. And last but not least, the Geek Easy, which is the bar below the distillery. I think it's a pinball bar now. But, they let us film there. And, we just couldn't be more grateful for all the local establishments that gave us the green light to use their great environments. So,
and I think that's really special that you're able to make a road trip film but still keep it local in a way, mm-hmm, where it's not, you know, so obviously in one place, but it's like you were really paying homage to all of these great places in our Toledo region.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And we already talked a little bit about the premiere, but I know you had more than one kind of screening after Imagination Station. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, of course. So right after the movie made its grand debut at the Imagination Station, we had some local screenings. The last one took place at Howard's. That was really special because we filmed a scene there.
Yeah.
And we got a notification in February, too. This one was really exciting. The film actually screened at the Historic Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. And my family and I, we went out there in February to go see that. It was a part of the Golden State Film Festival, so we got to meet a lot of other great filmmakers from around the world. Some of them were from the Philippines, some of them were from Italy, and just getting the network and meet them was just absolutely awesome. It was just such a fun time being out there. Like, we'd walk down Hollywood Boulevard every day, and when we walked down, they were setting up for the Oscars at the Dolby Theater, mm-hmm, which was like a couple blocks, it's a little ways down from the Chinese theater. So it was really cool seeing them set up for that. And I remember the Oscars took place like a week and a half later, and it was just really cool to just be like watching it and be like, oh, that's so cool, we were there. Like it was kind of like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme you see, like where he like snaps his fingers and he's like pointing at the TV.
That's so funny because it's exactly what I was thinking about too, but from your perspective. I can't even imagine how cool it is. I mean, it's literally in the name, like the Historic Chinese Theater. The fact that you were able to see your film in a place with such rich history for the film industry is so incredible. I mean, I can't even imagine what that must have felt like for you and for your family.
It was just absolutely surreal. It was just one of the coolest experiences of my life so far.
Oh, I love
and that. I love that Toledo was represented in such a cool way in that spotlight too. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, obviously you've had a bunch of different screenings, both locally and otherwise. So talk about the audience perception, you know, not just you and your team and your family, but also the people who are seeing the film who had nothing to do with it. What were you anticipating their reaction being versus, you know, what the actual reaction was and if there was anything that surprised you?
So with every one of my movies I make, my goal is just to bring people together, grab popcorn, and have a good time. And I feel like with The Ride to Nowhere, we definitely achieved that goal. It was really fun bringing everyone together at the Imagination Station in October. Everyone getting to see people laugh at specific beats and see people like kind of wince at other parts. And it was just really cool just being in a crowd and seeing like everyone react to everything. And it just made me feel really good getting to see like all our hard work pay off. So that was
absolutely
awesome.
And if you were going to give like an elevator pitch for the film to somebody who knew nothing about it, how would you explain it to people?
So The Ride to Nowhere is a road trip movie about a young man who goes on a trip to visit an old crush. And there's a boatload of surprises that happen along the way. The unexpected is around every corner.
I love that. I love it.
So obviously we know you have some new stuff in the works, but for The Ride to Nowhere specifically, what are kind of the next steps that you see?
So the film is still making its film festival run right now. We hear back from a couple more festivals, one of which is at the Maumee Indoor Theater that takes place in September. So we hope that it gets accepted into that and we can bring in another great crowd and have a good time like we've been having. And on top of that, we also want to stream the movie at some point soon. We're looking into platforms. We hear back from a couple real soon. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
And how can people kind of keep up with the news specifically for Ride to Nowhere? Because I know you have some social media accounts for it.
So there's a couple platforms we have right now. The movie is on Instagram, mm-hmm. and it's on Facebook. If people search The Ride to Nowhere movie on both of those platforms, they'll find it. We love to keep people posted on what's going on with the movie. I try and post as frequently as possible, and yeah, got to keep people in the loop.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you think that living in Toledo and, you know, shooting some of your things here influences both your work and kind of the process compared to if you were somewhere like Hollywood?
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun making movies in Toledo because people are really excited about it. Like people, like they said yes in a heartbeat to film at Titke's and Home Slice. They're like, oh, wow, it's so cool. We'd love to have a movie take place here, like a scene. Whereas in Hollywood, or Atlanta, Chicago, they're a little bit more picky about that. Like you have to have like a permit to film at specific locations. Mm. So it's really cool working here in Toledo. Yeah. It's great showcasing local businesses, establishments, amazing locations. We filmed a lot at the Metro Parks, as I mentioned earlier. So it's really cool. It's kind of like, I love John Hughes, as I mentioned earlier. I'm a big fan of his work. And if you notice, a lot of his projects take place in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to do something similar, but with Toledo. Like instead, replace Chicago with Toledo. And that's what I aim to do. Is like, I love to showcase the Glass City. I feel like this town is very overlooked. There's a lot of great things that go on here. And I love shedding a lot of light on it. That's my goal.
I love that.
That's awesome. Because it's not just like about your dream and your passion, but it's also about uplifting our whole community, which I think is really admirable. That's awesome. And then talk to me a little bit about your other videography gigs. So you do freelance videography as well. And how much of that do you do like outside of your regular filmmaking? And then what kind of videos are you making?
So I am self-employed full-time. I shoot a lot of weddings, promotional content for schools and businesses, sporting events. I do work for Central Catholic every now and then. But yeah, it's really great working with these great local businesses. It's really fulfilling capturing weddings as well. It's the happiest day of someone's life.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be a part of that, being a little fly on the wall there and capturing all the excitement, all the love, and all the exciting. It's just such a great time. And I feel, like I said earlier, I feel really fulfilled doing it, and just it's really cool.
Yeah. Would you say that's your favorite, doing weddings? Like, obviously outside of your normal filmmaking, but as far as freelance?
It's definitely up there, I would say. It's just really nice. Like I said earlier, it's really cool just being a fly on the wall, being a part of someone's special day. I've had a couple wild weddings recently, one of which took place in Boyne City, Michigan. That was really fun to travel to. I had another one actually in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, a couple of years ago, and that was really fun to fly out to. It was an old high school friend who got married, and I shot my cousin Allison's wedding in Texas a couple of years ago as well. So it was really fun to branch off to some of those other places and capturing new environments, and it's been really cool. It's been a lot of fun.
And I'm always interested in people who are self-employed or, you know, do a lot of contract or freelance work and how they kind of get the word out about their own services. So what do you do in terms of letting people know what you offer in terms of your filmmaking or videography?
Yeah, so a lot of my inquiries come from word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I don't really pay for, like, advertisements or anything crazy like that. I've been freelancing, I would say. I started in college. When I was working for the football team, I was shooting events. I shot the University of Toledo's, it was a sales competition, I remember. I did that when I was in, I believe I was a sophomore in college when I did that. So that was valuable experience. And then I also shot a dance marathon down in Bowling Green for a hip-hop dancer. He had a routine. I captured that for him. And I was doing all these projects on the side from working for the football team. And that was just really valuable experience. And after I graduated college, I kept getting more and more inquiries to shoot weddings, other events and whatnot. So I figured, like, well, I'm getting a lot of inquiries for this, so I might as well turn this into something. So I went self-employed right after college full time, and I've never looked back since. It's really fulfilling working with so many great people here in Toledo. Not just for weddings, but capturing businesses, promotional videos for schools and whatnot. And it's been awesome.
Absolutely.
It's been really cool.
And it sounds like you're traveling all over too, which I'm curious, you know, as you're going to those places, are you kind of taking inspiration for future projects?
Absolutely. Yes. It's really cool being able to travel to so many great places and just learning about like how things. It's really cool going to like other towns, seeing like how things happen out there. Like going out to LA, it's a lot different than Toledo, I'll say that. it was definitely an eye-opening experience. It was a lot of fun, and I soaked in a lot, and I was able to just draw inspiration from being out there, just seeing like how the day-to-day life goes on. And Yeah.
I love that. And I want to talk about your new project. But first, I have a little bit of a bonus question, just because I'm curious. As a filmmaker, if you could be part of any famous movie shoot, like any well-known movie, what movie would you pick?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. Can it be a TV show or does that have to be a movie?
Oh, it could be a TV show.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I would love to be in, if I had a time machine, I would have loved to have been a part of like the filming of either Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, because those are my two favorite shows right now. I was literally watching Breaking Bad before I got here. I started rewatching season 3 again, and it's just the world building in those shows is just absolutely genius.
It's
like,
so
genius. I think Vince Gilligan did such a great job at not only casting, but obviously like the filming style is just really interesting, like how they shot it, and it's just I can rewatch that like any day. I know it's an intense comfort show for some people, but it's just really darn good storytelling.
Yeah.
So I would say if I was able to be a part of any show or movie, I would say anything like in the Breaking Bad universe.
Definitely.
I love it.
That's an awesome answer. And one that I did not expect from the Lucasfilm and John Hughes previous conversation, but I love it nonetheless.
Yeah. So I'm so excited to talk about the new project. We saw a little sneak peek on Instagram for the Moonshine Crew. What can you tell us?
It's another, that project's going to be another comedy/drama film. It's it's actually got some romance in it too. It's about a down and out bartender who finds an action camera with footage on it, and it changes his life forever. So it's got a splash of comedy, a little bit of romance, a little bit of drama, all sorts of fun things, and I'm really eager to start working on that really soon. My friend TJ, he's been doing a great job at helping me come up with specific beats for the story. He's been giving me just a couple little notes here and there. I've been writing the movie for about a year now.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't been in too crazy of a rush to start shooting, but when cameras start rolling, it's going to be a heck of a time. I'm really excited to work with a lot of great individuals here in Toledo, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really eager to start using some of the great establishments around here, and I think we're going to do something really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. How do you think that the production of this film is going to differ from your last project, The Ride to Nowhere?
The Ride to Nowhere, it was more of a road trip movie, so like we saw a lot of, like, we had to be discreet about shooting in certain locations. Like, we shot in the deep reaches of, like, oak openings, like, not to, like, to try and give the viewer the impression that we were on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie took place, in 2021 during the pandemic. So the next movie is going to take place right here in Toledo, Maumee, this neck of the woods, and it's going to take place in present day as well. So it's going to be awesome when we start rolling, and I'm really eager to get, I'm really eager to start putting together the team. And I know it's going to be one for the books.
Yeah, for sure.
We're all excited to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I was about to say, this is me and Libby's formal request that if you need extras, we will be there.
Of course, of course.
And I want to ask too, you know, according to your Instagram and your social media, because I am a little bit of a stalker before these podcast episodes, apparently 2024 was the 10-year anniversary of filmmaking since you really got started heavily into it in 2014. So what do you think that the next 10 years hold for you and your craft?
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I just want to keep making motion pictures, bringing people together, maybe get into some higher tier film festivals. My goal in life is to be, one of my biggest goals is to get one of my films into Sundance.
Yeah.
That's been one of my biggest goals to try and pull off. And I can honestly say it's not too far off. I put together the great people to work with, great teams. And I know something big is on the horizon. I mean, not that nothing was big on the horizon with The Ride to Nowhere. Like, getting the film shown at the Chinese Theater, that was really cool. But I just think that with the Moonshine Crew, my next project, I'm going to just keep leveling up, keep bringing people together, and just keep knocking people's socks off.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so before we get to everyone's favorite Roman Empire segment, we like to kind of end things with your advice. Maybe it's for young filmmakers like yourself, or maybe it's just for people who want to be their own boss like you are.
My biggest piece of advice would be you got to be willing to get the shot that no one else is willing to take. You got to be willing to hustle when no one else is willing to hustle. There are times in this industry where you got to keep your foot on the gas. You got to keep moving. And sometimes it's glamorous, sometimes it's not glamorous, but if you trust the process, big things will happen.
I love that.
Love it.
And of course, we're back with everyone's favorite segment, the Roman Empire. So I know we took a little bit of a break. So for those of you who do not know, the Roman Empire is something that you literally can't stop thinking about and think about it multiple times a day or multiple times a week. And so on this episode, we want to do a little film edition for Roman Empire.
You know, we have to do the special film edition.
Of course, special for our special guest. So, Anthony, your prompt today for the Roman Empire is you are picking one recent film and one all-time film that are kind of like your Roman Empire films. Okay. And to give you a few minutes to get your thoughts together, Libby and I are going to go first. So, Libby, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So, for my recent film, this is such a tough question, but I think I'm going to go Hereditary.
Yeah, girl.
It's the acting, incredible, just the way it's shot, incredible. That one specific shot that I won't mention with the road and the telephone pole, it just
but
lives
if you
in
know,
my
you know.
Yeah, it lives in my mind rent free. Like, how could I get that out of my head? So scary, but then like turned into a comfort movie for me.
Yeah, so fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I love it. All time, that's also a tricky one. I think I'm going to have to go with, like, the original Snow White.
Ooh, interesting.
It's just so nostalgic to my childhood. I love the music in it. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And I think it just really shaped the culture in a cool way. And I love it.
That. That's so sweet. I would say for my recent one, I've been really obsessed with Sing Sing. So that movie has one of my favorite actors of all time, Colman Domingo, in it. And additionally, the rest of the cast is made up of people who are previously incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So the film is shot in a prison. It's about a group of people who are incarcerated who come together to make a theater program for in-prison rehabilitation. And the story itself is just so gripping and beautiful. All of the characters are so well developed, even the ones who don't have that much screen time. But the way that they were actually able to pull in people whose real experiences reflected that of the storytelling, I think is just so phenomenal. And yeah. I mean, if you watch it, you know, you'll just like weep the whole time. It was just gorgeous. But that is definitely my recent Roman Empire film. Definitely sad that it did not take home more Oscars, but you know, it happens. And then my all-time one, people might clown me for this, I'm not gonna lie, but I have to say The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And the reason I say that, I mean, if you know me, you know it's my favorite movie, but it's my favorite book. I read the book as a kid. It altered my brain chemistry forever. And then what I think is really cool is, first of all, it has a stacked cast. It's an amazing cast. Second of all, it was my personal introduction to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which love that now. So thank you to The Perks of Being a Wallflower. But I don't often, and you also don't often, see films that are written and directed by the person who actually wrote the book. So the fact that the person who wrote the book then also used his own source material to write a script that translated so beautifully to a film and then also was the director,
yeah.
It just was so incredible to me to watch and definitely, like the book, altered my brain chemistry forever. And just a beautiful story.
You're also probably weeping at that one.
Oh, yeah, I weep every time. Yeah. You cannot watch that movie without weeping. There's just so much trauma. It's devastating. But great, great acting in there from, you know, Emma Watson and Logan Lerman, all of these incredible people. So it's definitely up there on my list. Oh, and the Paul Rudd of it all. How can you not love a movie with Paul Rudd? So yeah, that's my all-time, I think, film Roman Empire.
Love it.
And now the big reveal. We've been waiting for this one, Anthony. What do you got?
Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy. For recent films, I would say Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah,
that should have been up for Best Picture, honestly. I thought that movie was absolutely phenomenal. I had a great time in the theater. It was a great being around so many. That was a great crowd. You can't go wrong. That had one of the best dance choreographies in the very beginning.
Are you kidding? I was so excited. I was screaming. And everyone was like, oh, did Ryan Reynolds do the dance? And I'm like, no, he didn't do the dance. But it was still iconic.
Oh my goodness. You can't go wrong with Ryan Reynolds. You can't go wrong with Hugh Jackman. It was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
That was probably one of the best movies most recent films I've seen. As for classic movies go, I would say It's a Wonderful Life. That's a great one.
Wow, yeah.
That's a great one. It's not just a great Christmas movie, but it's obviously one of the best movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the sets where they had like specific sets that where they would film that. They would film that. It was it has a great message at the end of the movie, and I just thought it's timeless. It's yeah. absolutely amazing. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. And it's obviously in the top five films of all time for a reason.
For
really
sure.
good. It's amazing.
And I feel like the best movies do that. They kind of run you through the gamut of emotion. And I love that that is something that's reflected in your filmmaking too, where you're not pigeonholing yourself into one genre of film. Instead, you're trying to combine all of the elements that you love from each different genre. So that's really admirable. And I loved your answers. Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for coming on the show. We
thank
so
you
appreciate
so much.
It.
This is great.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I really appreciate being on here. You guys did a great job. And go Rockets.
We want to thank Anthony Wright, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.